This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word.
Well, good morning, everybody. Really good to see you all. It's great to have our crew back. And so let's see, and we have, it was Susan and Chris. Really glad that you guys are back with us again. We have Antonio, Amanda. I guess this is what, three Sundays in a row that you guys have been here? And from, don't tell me. Colombia and Brazil. Mexico and Brazil. Okay, sorry. So, thank you, Lydia.
So excited.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. We're up to 9 countries now. This is so awesome. And Renee and Henrietta. Really good to have you guys here. And they're from Cameroon. For those of you who weren't in here when we met them earlier, welcome. We have a great group this morning. It's so wonderful to have you all here. Well, as you know, or you may not, if you've not been here or haven't been paying attention, if you were here, we're in our series, and believe it or not, we're winding down, winding toward the end. The end is in sight. It's not. I'm sorry. It's really not. But I do pray that what we're studying is practical and useful for us as we talk about the principle of the path, or what is your destination? Where are you going? And we're looking at our direction, which determines our destination. But really, we're looking at our decisions that determine our direction, that determines our destination. But truth be told, we're studying about our thoughts, which determine our decisions, which determine our direction, which determines our destination. But really, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about are the things that influence our thoughts. That's what we're talking about, because as you may have heard, your thoughts affect your decisions, which affect your direction, which affects your destination. And so we're talking about things that influence our thoughts, the things that cause us to think the way that we think, and then that eventually determines where we go, where we end up, in fact. And we've talked about that there are a lot of things that influence our thoughts that we really have no direct control over. Where you grew up, your family situation, your education, all that kind of stuff. You know, when you're a kid, you don't pick your parents. And all the other things about your formation, there are lots and lots of things like that we just cannot directly control. But thankfully, there are some things that we can control, and that's what we're talking about. And so far, if you'll remember, we talked about our friends. That was the first thing we talked about, the things that influence our thoughts, and friends are a big deal. And by the way, as I was preparing this week for this morning, something hit me, and I thought, my goodness, what an idiot. Why didn't you think about that when we were talking about friends? And so we're going to have a friends part two, Lord willing, at a point in the future, sometime between now and 2017, when we approach the end of this series, that will relate back to that again. But where we are right now is we just last week began talking about music, because music affects the way that we think. Do you believe that? It absolutely does, doesn't it? On the surface, you think, well, no, I can listen to anything and it really doesn't matter, but that's just not true. And we talked last week, as we were introducing this, that when it comes to music, there are so many things that people argue about. I remember especially back in the 80s, when I was at a very legalistic, fundamental church, and believe me, I'm all for being biblically conservative. So don't walk away not thinking that, but you know, our big thing was to find any issue and draw a line on the ground. You know, here, if you're on this side, you're right with God. If you're on this side, you're a sinner and probably lost. And so music was one of the things that, you know, that we did that with. And so it was, at that time, it was a big issue. Well, you know, what kind of music do you listen to? And even church music, it has to be this kind, or it's just from the devil. And for those of you who have been in the church for a while, you remember those arguments. Thankfully, now it's not so bad. Now we just get in a fight. Not that you're lost in the center if you're listening to this kind of church music or this or the other, but we just argue about it just because it's so much fun. And so what kind of music do you have in church? Well, that's something that people fight about. That's something that causes people to go, to some other church or whatever like that. It's something that causes churches to have 17 different services so that they can have the specific kind of music that everybody likes. And so music is a big issue. It really, really is. Not to mention the fact, as we talked a moment ago, it affects us. It affects us and how we think. And so what we're going to talk this morning about what really is the truth about music. I hope we'll get something out here that helps you as you think about that. And last week we started by asking the question, does the style of music matter? And I'm not just talking about in church, I'm talking about in general. Whatever it is you have on your portable device that hooks up to the earbuds that go, that plays the music that you listen to, whatever that is, does the style of that music have anything to do with whether or not God would be for it or not? Style. Does style matter?
It shouldn't matter.
Shouldn't. And I don't believe it does.
And the reason I think about that, way back in the late 80s and the beginning of the 90s, I heard my first version of rap, which was on a children's program, and it was out of a Canadian children's series. Mm-hmm. And it was hilarious. Old MacDonald had a farm, done to and it was wonderful. It was hysterical. So I had no bad feelings about rap, but I just heard that it existed. Mm-hmm. And then the words got worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. The style had absolutely nothing to do with the content or the culture that eventually grew up in.
Yes. I wish that Trina were here so that we could argue about whether or not Blondie, the song Rapture, was the first rap song. Yeah. She says it's not. But I tell her it was. So that's one of the things we... All right, so does style matter? No. Style doesn't matter. Style is not the issue. And so for each one of us in this room, we all have styles of music that we like and styles of music that we don't like country and Western music, for instance. Hopefully we can all at least agree on that. I was looking at you when I thought that. And so style is just a matter of preference. It has nothing to do with right or wrong, good or bad, with respect to what God would think about music. So what does matter? The lyrics. The lyrics matter, and they matter absolutely. They are the issue about music. Doesn't matter about the beat, the kinds of instruments, any of that. What matters are the lyrics. And so let's talk through that and ask the question, what types of lyrics would definitely be acceptable as, music for us to be listening to?
Those that emphasize the behavior that we would like to have.
Positive behavior, how about that? I don't disagree with that, but the premise that we're going to get to, and I'm not going to give you a list, but I think that it's an important question, because
it's the same thing. It's the same line we're drawing with friends.
We decided, maybe you guys weren't here the next week, that I had gone overboard with the line. And I'm bad about lines, and I ask you guys to catch, to keep me in check about that. But we have to be able to say, okay, these things are definitely good. These things we have to watch out for, because if these things are the words that are going into our minds and they affect our thoughts, then we have to be careful, right?
Well, Jonathan, I think if we go all the way back before Satan fell and how he was created, mm-hmm. he was created to produce music.
Isaiah 14 is where the basis in the scripture for that. And that is a key point, Bob, and I'm glad you brought that up, that Satan has a master's degree in music. He likely, in fact, was the music leader in heaven. And so with him having such skill and insight into music, it can't be a surprise to us that he can manipulate it to make it where it is not helpful, doesn't produce godliness in us. So that can't be a surprise that that's the case. And that's why one of the reasons why we need to talk about it. Pamela, you're wanting to say something. Well, well, that's not the only answer. That's not the only thing that would go under the category of good, positive, or good stuff for us to listen to.
But I just, they probably heard me kind of fidget in my seat a little bit, and one of them turned around and said, I knew it was coming, I just wanted to see what you would do.
Oh,
you know, like, they had heard it somewhere else, you know, but one was reaching for the button as the words were coming out, because they knew it was inappropriate. But, like, the artist himself typically doesn't have, I don't have a problem with it. You know, because it's not Christian music, I'm not going to say you can't listen to that. But that particular phrase was incredibly inappropriate in any setting for anybody my age or theirs to listen to. And, you know, that was an easy line to draw. But there's a lot of secular music that I grew up in the same setting you did.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard to shake that off. It really is.
But there's a lot that's great.
There is. And like we talked about last week, there are lots of really great Christian folk that sing music that is categorized as secular music. And so we can't use what the genre is, we can't use what the marketing speak is, or anything else to judge whether or not music is good or bad. What we have to do is we have to get with God, find our lines. And so how about this? I don't intend for us to draw lines, but I absolutely am going to challenge you to get with God yourself and draw lines, because we have to have boundaries, we have to have guardrails to make sure that our thoughts are in line, that we are setting ourselves up for the best destination possible. Again, Pamela, yes. Yes, that's right. Yes.
And before that, the polka was offensive. And then before, you can go back.
Still
so it's a peculiar thing. It's like human beings just need things to quarrel over.
They do, and that's what, like, it is at church now. We don't tell people that they're lost if they listen to the wrong kind of music in church, but we absolutely say, well, crud, I'm not going to this church if that's the kind of music you're going to play, or the beat's too loud, you know, and it hurts my ears, or it's not loud enough, or, you know, okay, so back to our at least trying to help draw some guidelines here to help us understand, okay, what should we do? So lyrics that promote positive behavior, that's one thing that you could say, okay, check mark, that's helpful. And yet, Pam, you mentioned songs that are laments, country music. And so having music that allows you to understand that other people have gone through bad things, and that you know, maybe that's okay, right? I mean, it's...
Well, it helps you get in touch with your own emotions.
There is a whole lot of... Yes, yeah. Yes. All right. Well, what else? Now, there are some obvious things that we could put up here, and that since I'm teaching in a church that we probably should put up there. How about stuff like praise for God? Is that something we could put in this category? Everybody agree with that? And so worship music is probably the same thing, only different. So we've got that. How about, remember, just it wasn't too many months ago in this series when we were talking about, in general, our thoughts and the Philippians 4:8 filter, the eight things that Philippians 4:8, that Paul in Philippians 4:8 says, okay, whenever you're thinking about something, it needs to be able to make it through these eight things. And so can we put that up here as a great line drawer by, you know, from God? How about that? So Philippians 4:8. That's a good one. Thanks for coming. What else? What else can go in the good category? Things that we can go, absolutely, I can be confident that this is good stuff. How about, and I'm going to put something up here that there certainly could be some exceptions to, but how about this? And you're going to think this is nuts. Now there are obviously
who you're having the room as
well. Yeah. So but here, me as a husband, I've got a wife, and if I'm listening to this to music with her or thinking about her when listening to that music, that to me seems like a
this gets back to what kind of behavior does a son motivate you to want to adhere to?
We're married.
Yeah, I know. So romance with your wife is okay, but romance with someone else's is not.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's
yeah. And here in this list up here, we need to understand that it's just some helpful stuff. So what else? Anything else up here? We're not getting in quicksand here, are we?
Why not?
yeah, good question. Any other thoughts? Music where you can just say, yep, good. Yes, ma'am. With romance, yes, ma'am. Well, you know, Lydia, I think we talked about that last week a little bit. If there's some guy and he writes a really great song for his wife, I don't know that I care. I do care whether or not he's a Christian, but that's not going to be what determines whether or not I'm going to listen to the song. If a Christian sings a song that happens to be played on secular music, I'm not going to not listen to that just because of that. You see what I'm saying? And so really, the lyrics and the purpose behind the lyrics, I think that's what should drive us mostly. I mean, it's a great question and something that you guys may draw different lines. Yeah.
Half the songs will be okay, and then you've got the one that comes up in the middle. And you switch positions. It's hard to censor those things.
Well, but that's why I I know I work for Apple. I'm not trying to sell you anything, but when we came out with the iPod, which allowed for me to absolutely control what I listen to and what I don't listen to. That to me was like a dream come true because I didn't have to listen to commercials, but neither did I have to listen to music that I didn't want to listen to. And so having the ability to control that completely, if you want to, I think is a really positive thing on whatever device you choose to use.
Well, Jonathan, also, there's things like classical music, you know, that appeals to the human life and things like that.
Yeah, and so can we put classical up here? Does everybody think classical can go up here? Is that okay? Okay, how about classical? Kerry.
I think back on the romance thing, I think there is a line though of your marriage and worship, like tying those type of things together and that type of romance, I can understand. But then there's the romance, lust, idolatry of your wife. I think it's the other aspect of that.
So how about we put all right, put a question mark there.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably should have. See, I just messed up putting it up there in the first place.
Amusing and fun music.
Like,
entertaining. Well,
there
are all kinds of silly music, and then
there's
some that's terrible,
but
some
okay.
Nature.
Like, crud, why can't I remember his name? Scott, you mentioned him just earlier. Bad Bromance, what the guy that...
Weird Al.
Weird Al, yes. Like, Weird Al is, yeah, fantastic. All right, so anyway, so here's the point. What I would love for each one of us to do is get with God and come up with our list of these songs that are, that you know, with these adjectives. These songs are good all the time. Yes, you in the back. Yes.
So the test really is, you know, God is aware of what you're doing at all times. But we forget that sometimes. You know?
And that he's kind of like there, in fact. Yeah.
And I knew that when you had kids, you know, they'd be watching on the television. You'd walk into the room and you'd feel a temperature drop because they knew they were watching something that wasn't acceptable. So we know that. Mm-hmm. And that obviates all these questions about romance. Obviously, this legitimate romantic sentiment that's good, appropriately aimed at bad, and those you can't determine that by the style.
Yes, right? Yes.
And so, you know, there could even be worship songs which have theological points in them that I disagree with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. And in fact, I think I messed up in a lot of ways in this list, one of them being that I put some styles of music up here when we had already agreed that styles don't matter. But I guess in general, you describe that kind of a genre, and it's more than just a style, I guess. It's a bucket. But whatever the case. Now, let's talk about things. I think Mindy already mentioned kind of an example of that. Things that you know, just without having to think about it, without having to pray about it, lyrics, like this, are not acceptable, as she said, anytime, anywhere, for anybody who's trying to, you know. Yes, you in the back.
Harm to others, harm to self, harm to property.
Very good. Very good. Profanity. Who said that? Profanity. Good. Thankfully these days, and I don't know that this makes it okay, because I think you generally know what, you know, you can fill in the blanks, but, you know, a lot of times there's an option between a clean version and an explicit version of music. Don't know that that makes it okay, but at least it's not as bad, I guess.
Even it's published that way. What goes on the radio is one version, one set of words.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then what you buy off an album is different. I think promoting ungodly behavior.
Okay. Okay, good. And I think that just so that we can explicitly put this up on the board, how about anything that promotes sexual behavior outside of marriage? All right? Is that okay? I know that that is the same as this, but this is, yeah, and we're not going to argue about that stuff because this is, you know, crud. This is between you and God. If you ever make a decision because of somebody standing in front of you like this, then that's not going to work. Not going to work out. Okay. Good point. Good point. All right, now, here's stuff that mostly some of us would mostly agree good. Here's stuff that I think most of us would agree bad. there's a whole lot of stuff between these two lists. And what do we, I'm sorry?
Or a blend.
Or a blend. And we're going to have to figure out about that stuff too. I hope and pray that the outcome of this is not that you say, oh, Jonathan in Sunday school said that we can't listen to the song anymore. No, no. But that what does happen is that for the music you listen to, you become more aware. And why do I care? Because the music you listen to affects your thoughts. And so it matters. It really matters. And so what can we do with this? Well, we can start to filter. We can start to pay attention to what we listen to, and we can start to filter it. One of the few things that I've done with my kids that I think is actually smart is, and it's funny, you know, your kids are all different, each one of them. My kids are different. My middle kid, I think if she never listened to a non-worship song for the rest of her life, she would be perfectly happy. She always, always picks not just Christian music, but worship music when she has any control over what's playing. My oldest kid isn't that way. And so she'll often come to me and say, Daddy, can you please buy me some more songs? And so, and because we don't really listen to the radio, I don't know that we have any radios. We have devices that we listen to and play from. And so, just like on TV, we have Netflix, so we can control what we watch and what we don't watch, control what they see and what they don't see. Well, so she'll say, Daddy, can you buy me some music? And I'll say, well, send me the list, and we'll see. And she knows what I'm going to do. What I do is I sample it, what's it called? Preview or whatever. I get that going while in another window I bring up, there are so many places, you can find the lyrics to every song known to mankind, bring it up, and I read through the lyrics, the entire thing, while I'm listening to it, make sure that, you know, looking at both things. And there are some of the songs I think that in many cases the stuff that I read and see in those songs and get not offended by, but shoot, say, no, absolutely not. There's no way you're going to be listening to that music. I think in many cases she doesn't understand what those words mean, what the implication of. Oh, I'm sure you're right. That's a good point. And I don't know how to fix that one. What's behind it? That's a great point, Kerry. Wow, that's awesome.
And I think it's not just, no, we're not doing this into the story. It's, well, let's talk about this. What does that song mean to you? Where did you hear it? What does that do for you?
Yeah, that's a great point. And so when there are songs that I know, that I recognize, no, that's not okay, I'll explain why that's not okay. She's fine. Yeah, she's oddly okay with all that. And now in some cases, I...
For me, that's a flag. Having raised a daughter, that's a flag.
A flag.
Just, oh yeah, okay, Dad. That response to me is a flag.
Well, I'm just thankful she's... Well, I do understand that, but I'm thankful that she's not rebellious.
Well, yeah. Openly rebellious. I guess that's where I'm going with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just, that's my caution from.
Yeah. Well, good point. Good point.
Does she not ever say, that's not what I thought it meant?
No. And I don't get into the details sometimes about what it means.
I guess I'm just going, you know, songs that I grew up with, I'm sure they had different.
Oh, my goodness. There are songs that I listen to, songs that I used to listen to. And honestly, now that I'm married, all of a sudden I realize what they were talking about. And I'm thinking, oh, yikes. I had no.
Because you didn't think of it in the way that you understand it today.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. But anyway, so what I would encourage you to do, if you still have kids who you're, you know, all that, to go through the music and make it a conversation. Make it a conversation. All right. So thoughts about all that on music. Any thoughts before we go on to something far less controversial.
Well, I think, Jonathan, different styles of music tend to affect different parts of your being. The classical is more intellectual, the worship is going to be more spiritual, and the country is going to affect your trump playing.
All right. So, yes, Bruce. Yes. And thus legalism is not okay. Yes.
Because somewhere in there is going to be something. I'm sure Pam should say your songs that we listened to when we were young. We probably didn't know what was behind them.
Yeah.
You know, you learn the lyrics. Heck, you learn lyrics and songs, you didn't know what they were.
Yes.
They sounded like them, you couldn't understand them. All that sort of stuff.
There's a bathroom on the right and all that.
They're all perfect issues like that.
Sorry.
So we need to bring our own understanding of God would approve of. And then there's you doing research, listening to them and reading the lyrics. You get a get out of jail free card because you're doing it for the right reason. But I think that's right.
Well, you're right. We've got to be careful. The checkbox idea has to go out the window for all of us. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Romans 14. And so saying that, what Paul said was, anything that is not because of an interaction between you and God so that you hear from God on the matter is sin. And so that's the heart issue. That's the heart issue. All right, so that's music. Everybody really glad that we talked about that. I can tell. Yeah, me too. All right, well, let's talk about books. See, I told you it was the next topic.
Okay.
See?
I'd like to start this conversation. I have something that's been on my always mind. I have an 11-year-old son. Should be perfectly able to read through the Bible on his own, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He'll be 12 in March. So, over the past month, do you ever censor what part of the Bible they study or not? Seriously. So this week, he's reading on his own, and he comes to me, and we've already had this issue not too long ago, and he's like, you know? So he comes to me completely, Mama, what does this mean? And I read it, and I went, and I knew it was coming, and I went, well, and so I, well, we need to have this, you know, okay. And he's like, you know, he doesn't want to hear it.
That's what an interesting, yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Well, he may not want to hear it because he's not ready to hear it, or maybe from you. His dad would be a better one to hear it from. And I don't know what the topic is.
But, you know, could you ever?
I guess you can steer them, but what do you think? And he's a deep thinker.
He's a deep thinker, yeah. He's 19. And I figured it was time, if that's what the sermon was, my son is next to me, that's God's voice saying it's time to talk about it, or that he's ready to hear it. I mean, and we addressed it, and we continued to address it in the house. And it's not, I don't like to ever have something to not talk about in the house. It's in the Bible. Those are God's words. That's our teaching.
And there are different levels of understanding and talking about it, right? I mean, you don't have to get into all the gory details necessarily of all that, but
gory detail that he wanted to know what it meant.
If he's old enough to read it,
yeah.
I mean, I used to teach Genesis to a classroom of students. We would read through and discuss it. And I mean, I told him from the beginning, if this was made into a movie, you wouldn't be allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't. Genesis is so full of so much stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And I told them, but God put it in there for a reason. It's instruction for us, and what can we learn from this? And so, I mean, there's a lesson in there for him, and he's old enough to ask you specifics and not just want the surface level answer.
Yeah.
He's old enough to hear it.
There you go. And every kid is going to be different. I've mentioned my two kids. My oldest kid is a lot more aware than my middle kid. She's clueless. She really is about most things. And so every kid's going to be different.
If you don't know, if he wants to know bad enough, he'll figure it out some other way.
Yeah.
He will find it.
And that I think is the key, is to make sure that when it's right, that you're the source. Yeah, good point. All right, so books, and it was, I'd forgotten about this. Just a couple of days ago, we were cleaning out some shelves and getting books down, and all it was all this scarlet, all these scarlet toys and some scarlet books and all this kind of stuff. And I told Paris, my middle girl, okay, if you see any of Daddy's books in there, because there was a Bible dictionary in this bookshelf and stuff, then just set those aside. So she was going through all these books, and they were all the kid books and Pete the Cat and all that kind of garbage. Anyway, and then here's the Bible dictionary. Okay, thank you. And then she looked at it. Daddy, I think this isn't a scarlet book. And it was a book on talking to kids about sex. And I said, oh my goodness, you're right. And she had this look of absolute cluelessness on her face. But she just somehow, I mean, she incredibly naive, but yet knew that, and she didn't ask.
The pictures in that book were far different than the Pete the Cat book.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so books. Well, I want to read a quote. And by the way, books are going to in many ways be the same conversation that we just had about music, right? So because they're mostly words, mostly. But let's talk about them specifically. And here's a great quote. I've mentioned this quote in the past, but it's great. So I'll mention it again. You are the same today as you will be in 5 years, except for three things: the places you go, the books you read, and the people you meet. Aside from those three things, you will be exactly the same person in 5 years that you are today. The places you go, the books you read, the people you meet. And the gist of that, there are a few things that we can walk away from that with. The gist of it, though, is that books affect your thoughts. Books, in fact, can change you, and they have. There are some books that I have read, the Bible being the obvious example, but others as well, that have changed me. The book that I recommended a few weeks ago, The Traveler's Gift, is a book that has changed me. There are a number that have. So I guess, is there any conversation besides what we talked about up here about books that we should...
My brother, who's a complete atheist, used to dispute with me. And he said, oh, guess what? I said, what? They found out that when you watch movies, it affects a different part of your brain. I went like, I knew that. How could you not know that? But I mean, you know, but the thing is that it definitely is very different. And you can read about things in books and read about a discussion of things in books that if you watched on a movie, it affects you in a totally different way.
And the special thing about books that we often miss if we aren't readers is that when you read, you use your imagination.
You do, and you can also filter stuff. Like, there are certain kinds of things I'm not really interested in. I just sort of, you know, go past them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not the same as when it's you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's different learning styles.
Mm-hmm. All right, before we finish this, I think, you know, if we just want to say, well, yes, they're different, but the same kind of guidelines and the same purpose would be for us to get with God and let Him control what we read. But here's a quote from Andy Andrews about this. I've had a few of these, and this one's, I think, a really good one and may give us some encouragement and some practical application for this idea of what we read. And this is where he's talking about wisdom. Knowing that wisdom waits to be gathered, I will actively search her out. My past can never be changed, but I can change the future by changing my actions today. I will change my actions today. I will train my eyes and ears to read and listen to books and recordings that bring about positive changes in my personal relationships and greater understanding by my of my fellow man. No longer will I bombard my mind with materials that feed doubts and fears. I will read and listen only to that which increases my belief in myself and my future. And so he's there talking about that those decisions about what we read. Let's get started with the next topic. I don't know how far we'll get, but bye-bye, Lydia. Bye, Pam. Let's talk about video sources of content. A couple of passages I want for us to look at here. A really, really good one. A couple of really good passages. Psalm 119:37 is a good one. If you want to turn there. Then Job 31:1 is another one. And I categorize this as video content because at first it was movies, and then, well, no, TV. And then what about the internet? Many people today get far more of their video content from the internet than they do from the traditional movie and TV sources. So this is really what we're talking about. Visual stuff is the bucket here. And so would someone read for us Psalm 119:37, please?
Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word.
All right, thank you. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Good. And then another specific one, Job 31:1, and talking about the specific kinds of stuff that we might come across on the internet, other sources. Anyone? All right, thank you. And that one of the biggest difficulties with these sources of content would be the sexual side of it that is rampant, so easily available, and in fact, hard to stop, right? I don't know if you've ever tried to block content like on your home internet service and that kind of stuff. It is incredibly, incredibly difficult to block, to completely block the kinds of things that you don't want yourself and your family stumbling across, even if they're not looking for it themselves. Really difficult. All right, so turn the first one, turn my eyes away from worthless things. I don't know if you're like me. Some people hate TV. Some people love TV. The reason I like TV is because at the end of the day, I'm toast and so need something that I don't have to think about. You know what the word amusement means? It means not to think. That's what television is intended or often to be, is amusement. It's there to cause you to not to have to think. Now, one danger of that is it's kind of like turning off all the filters. It just, you know, all the stuff just kind of flows in and through. But but we have to be careful with this. What? Yeah, Kieran.
I was going to say, you brought up that definition. My other word for that would be leisure. And I kind of smile because I think amusing is on the good side of that list behind you. And I think the caution is that when you go to amusement, you go to leisure, you go to idle, and you're just growing. So if you're not growing towards, you know, God's will, then it can't be good. That's where I would talk about that. So there's amusement, leisure, and then what I would say recreation. Mm-hmm.
Very good. And when we're sitting there in front of that content, then it's going right in, and it does affect us. It does affect how we think. All right. So what are you guys thinking about this idea of video? I mean, in many ways, once again, what we talked about with respect to music, and we agreed with books in many of the same ways, even though it's different, it's just like it, only different, that the video thing, is that pretty much just like that? Only different?
I think this, like every other one, is one of those where you can't really, it's difficult to draw a line. You can't say if it's not good, then it's worthless. But some of us that are sports junkie, I love to watch football, I love to watch basketball. Mm-hmm.
But I really don't appreciate the commercials that are coming on at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And that's
saw my Facebook post, Wicked City, which is all about murder, a couple tying each other up with sex. I think they opened up the commercial with sex, drugs. And I'm like, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm not even going to watch the show because I can't watch any of that murder. But I like this.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why, by the way, we don't do TV.
We don't have cable.
But having it where somebody else is controlling the commercials and all that kind of stuff. I love the idea of having complete control. At least, you know, if
TiVo.
Here's the issue with that, I think. That's all good. I don't have a problem with that. But at some point in time, the kids are going to get old enough and they're going to find the content.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to talk to the friends. They're going to talk. So there's an issue at some point. You have to have the conversation with your kids, like Jill said. At some point, whoever said it, if it comes on, like you, I love watching sports and I love watching different things. There's certain TV shows that we love. Of course, sometimes in those TV shows, certain things come up and they're just kind of like, but it's a great time to have a conversation with our kids about what just happened. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate? No. What are the words that are using? Is it appropriate? No. Is that the world we live in? Yeah, unfortunately, it's the world that we live in. And these are the things that you will see, but let's have a discussion about it. We'll have discussions about it.
I remember Andy Stanley one time talking about the kinds of stuff you see on TV, and he made a point that I'd never thought of, but was so absolutely spot on. And he asked the simple question, have you ever in all of your TV watching and movie watching life seen a sex scene between a husband and wife? Not that it would be great to watch one, but at least for, you know, for that to be, no, all of them are between unmarried individuals. Oh, wow, Scott, you are red. Okay. All right. Well, the bottom line is that we have to be careful with the video content, and it is incredibly difficult to completely keep it out of our homes. I have tried everything and have successfully gotten 99% of the way there, but the last 1% is impossible, and the last 1% is so easy that I can show you porn on my internet in 1 second just by going to Google, because I can block anybody from being able to click on a link out of Google to go to porn, but I cannot block them from doing a search on Google, which would end up with them seeing absolute anything pornographic that you would love to see. It's there in one easy search. And there is no way to block it unless you completely block all of the search engines and use, there's one search engine out there that's not very good, but it is clean. I can't remember the name of it right now. Sorry? No, no. So the difficulty with all that is that you can come up to the point of blocking it all, but you can't block it all. Now you can on an iDevice, because on an iDevice you can control the browser. Yes, you're right. You're right.
But even with looking up somebody's name, I think I looked up my name and misspelled it, or I don't know, you know, autocorrected, and then it goes to some woman's.
Site, yeah, you know. I was visiting a guy who was in seminary, and he was looking for PKZIP, and he typed in unzip instead of PKZIP, and it returned a different result than he expected.
Yeah, yeah, and even with the safe search feature of Google search. You can't lock that. You can't lock it. And so anyway, so the bottom line is this is a really serious challenge. The video sources, it does affect us. For our children, it can affect their innocence.
Again, there's that conversation. It's not just let your kid loose with a PC connected to whatever or an iDevice connected to whatever. It's kind of, you got to know where that is. Like at our house, there's no internet in bedrooms. It's in a common area.
Yep.
So we can walk through and say, oh, what are you watching? And
that's really, really wise to keep it in the light.
Yeah.
Keep it in the light.
Room, you can hide the sin. You can just keep doing whatever.
And I have focused a lot on the sexual side of video sources, but there are other things to be concerned about also. And I would especially encourage you to be careful with spiritual evil. I am so concerned about the doors that we open for the enemy by watching stuff on TV that is spiritually evil and celebrates that spiritual evil. And so please be careful with that. And especially this Halloween season, it's like, and not all Halloween stuff is horrible, but there is some that is spiritually evil. And we give the enemy a foothold. And I'm sure we would be shocked at what we have allowed into our homes by making bad choices with respect to what we watch. All right. Well, the good news is that we have finished over half of these topics on what affects our thoughts, and we only have a few more, and they are all really, really positive ones that we will move into now, talking about the Bible, talking about hearing sermons and preaching, meditating on Scripture, those kinds of things. That's where we will go as we approach the end of our series very, very soon. Thank you.